Blog Talk Radio.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You're tuned to Time to Talk About It with your host, Pastor G.W. Jesus Porter, coming to you from the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida, city of sunshine. Yes, usually, but today is a balmy day again, cold, rainy, cloudy, whatever you want to call it. It's not looking beautiful, but guess what? It is beautiful because we are alive. We are alive and talking to you. Yes, yes, yes. So glad to be with you, you and you today, wherever you are, wherever you're listening. We want to thank God for you today. We send greetings to you from us all. Yes, and may your day be bright and sunny wherever you are. And we thank God for you. We want you to know we love you. We really, really love you. Now, call us at 347-857-3925 to leave your prayer request. Tell us what it is you desire. Maybe you just want to chat a little bit. Talk about whatever's going on, what you want us to pray for, to continue praying for, okay, in your life. You know, what you want God to do this coming year. We'll chat with you about that also. So give us a call if you will. All right? Praise God. Hallelujah. You want to pray a little bit? Micah, don't pray. Deacon Micah, don't pray.
Dear Lord, we thank you for all the listeners and all and everyone on there. We thank you for each and every person that's on the prayer list with all things that are wrong medically and properly, physically, and whatever the problem may be. We found out God put his hand of restoration on each and every person's body, on each and every person's mind, and you know, and also their pocketbooks. You know, because at this time of year, people get depressed about they can't get what they want for others, you know. So we're going to pray for those, too. We thank God for each and every one of them. We thank God for they got their hearts in the right place, Lord. We thank God for each and every one of them. We thank God for all the people of all the Christian community, Lord, that we come together and, as one voice, Lord. We just thank God for each and every one. We want to pray that each one be touched, that all mankind be touched, Lord, that we have peace in the world. We have things that people come together, Lord. We pray that all those that's on our prayer list and on your prayer list, we pray that each and every one of them prayers be answered, Lord. We just thank God for you. We thank God for each and every one. And listen, and God will handle and do all our needs. He will meet them. God will meet each and every one of our needs. God, thank God for that. We praise God for what he's doing. We praise God for all the things that he has for us. And we praise God for all the things that he's going to do for us. And this is my prayer, Jesus, amen.
Hello, praise the Lord again. Glory to God. Call us at 347-857-3925 to all those of you that listen and those that listen on a continued basis. We want to send greetings out to you, 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 and you, those that are sick, suffering, especially our good friend Elizabeth there in Connecticut. We want to send greetings to her, and we are praying for her son to have a full recovery. He's had two back surgeries, putting pins in his back, you know, and everything, and I know it feels painful to me, and I am not doing it, and we pray for him constantly, and her, and his family, all, and her brothers also, who are sick too. We pray for them also at this hour, and of course, we pray for you. We pray for outside the hospital, too. We pray for her also. And you, whoever you are that is in the hospital, been in the hospital, just come out, or maybe you're still there. We're still praying for you, too. Whatever your needs may be today, we trust that God will provide healing for your body, okay? Amen. Let me give you a quick little word before we go a little further here today. To tamper with truth is to deal in deceit. Just a short word. To tamper with truth is to deal in deceit. Ah, govern yourselves accordingly. How you like that, huh? Tamper with truth is the deal in deceit. Are you doing that today? We trust you're not. To all of you that are getting ready for your Christmas, whatever type of Christmas holiday or whatever you have in Kwanzaa or whatever that, whatever you call, whatever you do at this time of year, we know that this time of year some type of celebration is going on, right? And some of you may not can see what you will have at this time. But let's remember, you have life, don't you? If you're still alive, you have life. God's given you life, so appreciate it. And celebrate that, you know. If you got food in your pantry, celebrate it. And if you don't, there's so many places you can get food. Go to your food harvest banks and whatever is going on. Churches is giving out food these every holiday, as you call it. They're giving out food, you know. So don't get prideful and that much you don't have no food. And if you want some, you can go there. Die sure, you're going to have to stand in line, okay? And everybody got to stand in line for something. Anything you do today, you got to stand in line. Go to the bank. Go to the store. Go to the doctor. You got to wait for something, don't you? Everything requires wait today. So don't be impatient. Just go on over there and do whatever you got to do. Get your food and go on home. Ain't nobody's business but yours, okay? Amen. Don't be hungry for nothing. You're out there being hungry, talking about I'm home. Well, huh, I found out there's a lot of places that's giving food out. So go get some. Amen. Somebody will tell you about the food because nobody wants to see anybody hungry, do they? We all will tell somebody where we know somebody's giving out some food. All right? So don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. Come on now. Ah, yes, yes, yes. We thank God for Deacon Mike being here with us today and all. We thank God for everybody. We thank God for our sisters and brothers in Christ. We thank God for every one of them. We thank God for those that are busy today. They, you know, people are shopping for their Christmas and everything. They're shopping, you know, to buy that perfect gift and everything they're doing, you know. And all of that is good. All that's good. But what are you doing for Christ today, okay? What are you doing for Christ? Oh, yes, yes, yes. I just want to know what you're doing for Christ today. You can call me and tell me what you're doing for Christ if you want to, but if you don't, well, okay, too. You know, I say this, but some people take that. When you say that, that means you don't never want to say anything. That don't mean never. You got to want to say something sometime. You know, amen. Something might have come to you that you want us to talk about. You might want us to know that you're going through something, or you want us to pray for you. Something, come on. You need to talk to us, all right? Mine, but God is good. Let me tell you, he is so good to us. I don't know what I'd do without him, do you? And don't want to find out. I thank God for my friends. I thank God for my enemies. I thank God for everybody. Those love me and those that don't love me. I love you just the same. Amen, amen, amen. And all our listeners today, that you listen wherever you listen, I don't believe I got it on Facebook right now. I don't think it was connected to Facebook right now. So that means a lot of my friends won't hear me today. Okay, okay, okay. Praise God. now. You have to excuse me because I really didn't know how to connect it to Facebook, all right? But anyway, praise the Lord just the same. We're going to talk. You can listen on your computer or wherever you want to listen. Because let me tell you, God is still the same regardless, okay? God is good. God is so good. Thank God for you. Amen. Yes, I thank God for you. My friends, I thank God for them. I thank those that are watching over me, praying for me, you know, seeing about me when the devil want to destroy me. I thank God for it. Amen. All right. Now, let's try to go a little further here. Today, you know, this is something I think we need, okay, about restoring, the need for restoration, the need to be restored, need to be restored. You see what I'm saying? Amen. So many of us is just out of sync with God. We got it twisted, backward, upside down, and everything else. We need to be restored. And the thing is, we don't think we do. Okay? All right, let me give you a couple of scriptures right quick. There's lots of scriptures on it, but I'm going to just go here and there a few places, okay? Excuse me, I'm sorry. Okay, Acts 3, we're going to start with Acts 3 and 21. No, I think I better start at Acts 1. Acts 1, 1, 1, 1. Let me go to Acts 1 first. All right. I'm a child. Yeah, chapter 1 of Acts and the 6th verse. This way I'm going to start. Acts 1 and 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now, evidently you know things weren't as they should be at that time. Okay? It was not so. But they want to know if he was going to restore it again. Okay? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. Hear what he say, that he put in his own power. Now, I want you to listen to this next verse, okay? Listen to what he said. Now, here's a but. Now, he said, which the Father had put in his own power, right? Now, listen to what he says next. Jesus is written in red, right? It's, your Bible is written in red. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, he told them that, you know, you kind of know. You want to know if you're going to restore again the kingdom to Israel. And he told him, so you know the times for the seasons. You don't need to know all that. It's not for you to know. Which the Father had put in his own power. Now, that is in reserve for the Father to know that time, what time he had. But meanwhile, since he's putting that, giving you power here, power to exercise a few things in life to help you carry through instead of trying to know what time he's about to restore, what he's about to do, he has a time set for the restoration. He has time for that, okay? The thing is, you keep going and wait for the time. Now, listen to what he say in Acts 3 and 21. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God had spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, what do you think restitution means? Now, this scripture say the times of restitution, meaning to restore. That's all it means in the Greek, is to restore. So God has a time. See what it says? Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution. Whatever's going on, you receive that until the time of restitution. He restore all things. See? Until he restore all things, the time comes for him to do that. See, the prophets have spoken of the things that were going to be restored. You see? But we don't pay attention to it because we want a lullaby kind of gospel. We want everything hunky-dory. We want everything peaches and cream. We want everything to be according to what we plan. But didn't he not tell you it ain't for you to know that, right? So if it's not for you to know that, it means he didn't give it to you, and you're going to have to wait like everybody else. Do you agree with that? Praise the Lord. So God has already planned everything out for us, okay? All it is we don't pay attention. We don't pay attention to anything, do we? Let's say it this way. First of all, now we see a lack of things being right, don't we? All in divine order. Nothing is in order these days, is it? Come on, talk to me. Think about it today. Now, use your brains now to begin to look over the things that you hear on the news in the world and happening in your neighborhood and all around the world. Nothing is in order. Now, see, God already had planned a divine order for creation. And for life on earth. Everything is in divine order, whether you know it or not. Do you hear? Now, listen. Come on. Think about it. Now, I'm going to give you a few more. There's a proper order for animal life, an order for vegetable life, and an order for human life. Covering all lifespans. But all things are out of order. You see? Did you get it? Look now, I want you to look at things in the world, news and everything else. But all things are out of order. God has a proper order for all these things. But all things are out of order. It ain't only in terrible order, but it's in chaos, isn't it? And we wouldn't understand this. We wouldn't say it was that. But the curse, there's a curse that must be lifted off the land. And every enemy put under our feet. He gave us the authority and power to put the enemy under our feet and not allow everything to be out of order like it is. We have power. He's given us the power over all the power of the enemy, he said. He gave us that power, see? But we are not exercising it, so therefore we exercise it in our own way, and so everything is out of order. You don't believe that either, do you? But look at your life, too. Now, excuse me. The whole universe, we need order for the universe. It needs to be what? Restored. The same as the human life need to be what? Restored. Now, the scriptures say all creation is groaning and crying. And what is it doing that? Why is it doing that? Why do scriptures specifically state that? Because the universe wants to be released from the curse of, guess what, two things, death and decay. What are we experiencing now? Huh? Think about it. What are we experiencing in today? It's out of order. God did not make it out of order like that, did he? All right. And everything do what? Hinges on that body of sons that are to be manifested in a perfect state of divine order, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. They have not been manifest yet. Do you hear? And this is what he's waiting for. All right? This is what he must be waiting for, huh? So he wants the restoration of the true church. Listen, now there's a lot of churches, but he said the true church of Jesus Christ. Huh? He wanted restored in the earth, the body of believers. Is that right? Come on, think about it now. I want you to get there now. Come on. It's waiting for you. You. Where are you? You need to be restored. Come out of yourself. Okay. So if you take time to compare the condition today of the church in general, or the ones that call themselves the church, right, whichever one, and then you picture, you had that picture in your head, okay, about it. Now, I believe, let me see, what book was that? I think it's Ephesians say, Christ also loved the church in Ephesians. He loved the church and gave himself for it. He gave himself what? For the church. He wanted to be restored to where he had it in the beginning. Because he said he might sanctify, cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. He wanted to cleanse it. But we cleansed it ourselves with our anxieties, our hatreds, our racisms, our bad talking and our manipulating and so on and so on and so on. So is it washed by the word? Isn't it the church cleansed by the word? They have taken the word and blemished it. Because he said he want his churches to not have no blemish, no flaws. Nothing in it. No, he said when he says spot or wrinkle, that means nothing to be wrong with it. It should be smoothed out altogether. The church should be. People should come to church to do what? To be healed, to be delivered, set free. We looking for perfect people, all perfect people, to be in church, are we not? Huh? And then you ever see the people talk about, we don't want you in here, you homeless. Well, ain't them the kind of people supposed to come to church? We don't want you, you're a beast. Well, you let them come to church, but you don't let them count the money, do you? Huh? You see what I'm saying? You don't tempt them with what you know that they do. Okay? But you're not supposed to tell them they can't come in. Or they could be gay. You don't tell them they can't come into church. You don't bring them in there and put them as the first deacon of the church and all of that. Tell them, say, you got to make some changes first here before we do that. Okay? Because what we believe, tell them what we believe. Is that right? Now, when you do that, you are what? You are smoothing out things in the church so there won't be spot or wrinkle like the Bible says. See? He coming out of church that ain't got no spots and no wrinkles. Can we find a church like that today? Not too much, can we? There's some blemishes going on there, ain't it? You know how you try to, you be ironing your clothes, dress or something, or whatever you ironing, pants, don't care what it is, and there's always them little Lord, I hate that. Don't you? Do you hate them little creases get in there? Look like they won't come out for nothing in the world. You iron, you put cloth on them, you try everything, and that crease look like it's still in that. Now, the garment is clean now. Your clothes clean, but it's just the fact you can't get those little crinkles out. And it makes you feel so bad. You ever seen people come to church, men, with the lapel all upside down, wrinkled or bent over? Somebody tried to press it, and it, instead of it coming out, it got worse. See? And I don't know how you get them out, but they're nuisance to you anyway. But God don't want none of those things, no wrinkles in there, no creases in the church life. But we got a lot of creases in there, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Lot of creases, see? And we got names for the churches. We name, you know. And he tell you, if Ephesians tell you, but his church in Ephesians has been washed, cleansed, and sanctified. When men, oh, I lost my paper. When men speak of coming out of the church now, you know somebody has this saying today that, you know, ain't nobody going to church no more. Everybody leaving the church. Well, you know, I can say this. The scripture did tell you that judgment was going to begin at the house of God. And if judgment is beginning at the house of God, you know that many going to leave the church now. Leave the church. They leaving the church for their own good because they are not in order and perhaps the church is not in order. Now, we look at church and say, well, they don't do this and they don't do that. Well, you don't know what God told those people in the first place. You're not the judge of that. Okay? If that's where you want to go, go and keep your mouth shut and pray. If it's not right according to the scripture, you pray for a change. You be the instrument that God used to make the change. You don't have to get up in the pastor's face and talk about, Pastor, you ain't right and you ain't doing this. You ain't got to say none of that. All you got to do is pray. Get in your prayer closet and pray for a change, what you believe to be the change. And in the changing, you'll change. Keep your mouth shut. See? So, we always, you hear people talking about, ain't no church today, and there ain't no more church. You people stay home and all that. And, you know, they call this the church age and talking about it's over. Ain't no such thing as no church age. Hmm? You see, we're speaking those things, talking about it's just over. Hmm? But what are they talking about? They're talking about a system. System of men is over. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do y'all get that? A system of men are over and not about God's glorious church because his church is without spot or wrinkle. Huh? That's for his body. This is his body and his body is eternal. Hmm? Let me tell you. We make a mistake calling the church an age anyway, church age. How you going to talk about church age? Hmm? There ain't no such thing as church age because the church age, you know what it is? It's a spiritual organism. That's all, a spiritual organism. And what does it do? Manifests Christ through the ages. See? Every year they come, he manifests Christ, right? Every year they come, manifest Christ. This is what is going on. But no, we want to put a name on it. The church age is over. It is not over. Hmm? It's just getting started. Hmm? It's just the system has got to pass away. The system of the places that's supposed to be church, we've got to get out of this system stuff we do. So God has done what? He's brought us into his church. Not out of it, but into his church because he put an order back in. Okay? And when you see the system of men passing away, don't get worried. Because what is God doing? He bringing what? A great restoration into his church. His church. Yeah, say that now. God is restoring his church and his people. See, you didn't believe that, did you? Well, now you know why the whole creation is groaning after him, don't you? Huh? Now you know why the whole creation is groaning after God. It's waiting for the manifestation of the Son. There has to be a time for things, okay? And we are experiencing a curse of decay. Now, death and decay is what we are experiencing now. All types of, we got a whole lot of wrinkles out here in these churches today. Big churches, little churches, medium churches, mega churches, any kind of church you want to call it, any name church you want to call it, there's a whole lot of wrinkles there and blemishes. And we are standing for it. We're accepting it as the norm. What do you think will happen to you by accepting these things? Now, we're going to go on a little bit further, just a little bit further. Let's see what else I can find up here. Now, Romans tells us that there are sufferings in this present time. This present time. If there's sufferings in this present time, you can't understand these sufferings, can't you? You thought God was restoring you right then, didn't you? But you're still suffering. But Romans say, but they are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. God working stuff out in us. Do you hear what I'm saying? We got to get in order. Hello? We need to be in order. You and I need to be in order. Every church need to be in order. We're not talking about the 501c3 order either. We're talking about divine order, the order of God. Okay? Not doing what you want to do, not doing nothing to keep the members or keep them paying the money. They should know that money is a part of it. The priests need the money to keep the church open and operating. You keep your money to make you happy, you and yours happy. But the church you don't have no respect or love for because you will not put anything in because of your thinking. You're in the men age. See? You're out of order. And you don't want to be in order because you say all they do is ask for money. No, some may do it all the time, but everybody don't. See? Most people want to do everything by God, what God is saying, doing, walking according to him. See, they don't want anything else to come about but what God said. And people get mad because people stand on the word, what the Lord said to them and what he said for them to do. And people do get mad. Well, they have a problem. You don't have no problem. You just do what God tell you to do and make sure it's God, that you're not manifesting something outside of God's order. Because when you look at people, they're mostly doing what? They're manifesting stuff outside of their own heart. So when they manifest stuff out of their own heart, God is not in it. So therefore, okay, they are out of order. Hello. Oh, don't get mad. Don't get mad. Just drop up. Drop. Hallelujah. Lord, help me. So now, all of that goes to say that all creation waits for the manifestation of what? The sons of God. He waiting for it to be manifest. See? I'm going to get there. I'm going to get on a little further. I'm going to get on. Because you know, at this time, creation shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. It's going to be delivered from it, but when God say in his time, when the Father say his time, nobody else. Didn't Jesus tell you that the Father, he put that in his hand, it's in his hand, not his? Not the Son's hand, but the Father's hand. The Father make that decision, not you, not us, not him. But the Father makes that destruction. I mean, that that decision, huh? He make that decision so he could deliver us from the bondages of corruption. All type of corruption is going on. And he want to do what? What did he want to do? Restore us to his glory. We all, listen. Now, when you go to verse 23 of Romans, the 8th chapter, that we also who have the Holy Ghost grown within ourselves, waiting, we waiting. Now, if you're not waiting, I don't know what's wrong with you. Waiting for this to take place. We're waiting for all of this to take place. See, we are. See, that now, if there was a perfect, glorious church already in earth, if there was one, notice what I say, if there was one, we would not be groaning by the Holy Ghost in us, but it is to be brought into being. It's got to be manifest. It got to be manifest. Do you hear what I say? It got to be manifest. So now, you know, the Bible talks of the ministry of restoration. Huh? So now you see why we need restoration. We're in bondage. We're under the curse of death and destruction all over. We're under all of that. So don't that tell you we're not restored yet? Don't you know we need it? It's a fact. It is a fact. Well, everybody waiting for the church, the great escape from this earth and the rapture, everybody waiting for that. What did Jesus tell us in John 17? Well, we wait, that's what we're waiting for. See, you don't want to be restored. You want to keep doing what you're doing. You want to go to church when you feel like it. You want to give when you feel like it. You want to do everything according to your feelings. And you feel like that Jesus is going to help you escape in the rapture. That's what you feel like, right? But what did Jesus pray in 17th St. John, 15th verse? No, yeah, I think 15th verse. He says, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world. I'm going to start this first part again. This Jesus talking now in 17th chapter St. John. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. To keep you from from the evil. That's what Jesus prayed for you for when he talked to the Father about you. Huh? He keep you from the evil. Did you hear what he said? He ain't taking you out of the world, but he said, what? He wants you to keep you from the evil. Huh? Because he know there's so much evil in the land. Look what they did to him.
Amen.
I mean, they did all they could to take out everything he had. If he had any pride, you know, they didn't want him to have nothing. Didn't even want, and they say he didn't even look like a human when they finished tormenting and beating him and everything. See? They didn't want nobody to even remember what he looked like. That's what they didn't want. That's they. Notice I say they didn't want. But God has always promised to do what? Restore us. Hmm? Always. He promised it to Abraham. See? Now, Abraham did what? In obedience. He was going out in obedience to the call of God when God called him. And he went into a land of promise. And Abraham did say he was always looking for a city built by God himself. He was always looking for something. See? He wasn't looking for nothing for himself. He said he was looking for a city built by God himself. You see? That's what he was looking for. Because he wasn't satisfied with the earthly conditions. See? Are you satisfied with the conditions of today? Are you? See? Can you answer that? Hmm? But God gave Abraham a promise, didn't he? He gave him a promise, and listen, he gave us a promise. Hmm? He gave him, told him Isaac and Jacob was heirs with him of the same promise, of the same promise. Of the same promise. See, he didn't cut it. Okay? And he gave them a view of the promise, afar off. Hmm? They want to see it too. Everybody, do you want to see it? Are you waiting to see it? You want to see the promise fulfilled in your life? Hmm? You want to see yourself being restored? You want to see the church more than anything? Don't you? I want to see the church more than anything restored back, as they said, to its former glory. Men believe God with all their heart. Anything is impossible. God can do anything. Today, people don't believe that. They're trying to rationalize everything. Well, it's all right to be a man that want another man. It's all right to be, you know, it's all right to abuse these babies and these children and all these people. It's all right. All of that's supposed to be all right. Can you see decay and destruction in the land? Hmm? Can you see it? All I want to know, can you see that today? Huh? That's what I want to know. Yeah, God promised us more. Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. God promised us more. What did he promise? David in Chronicles. And let's say Chronicles 17. What did he promise? Hmm? So it tells how God spoke to David through the prophet and promised to establish a kingdom and a throne. Hmm? God promised that his house would be built and established. Now, you know David thought it was going to be him. Okay? But even though he had a title, don't mean that God's going to let him build his holy house. What does that tell you sometimes, huh? Tells you about sometimes that some people God didn't tell to build these big churches. They built it because they want the fame, fortune, and the money, and all that goes along with it, and everybody patting them on the back. This is what some people want. They want, they say they 15 minutes of fame. But I'm here to tell you that ain't worth nothing, because that's not the house that God built. See? God know who he called to build his house. And he told you his house shall be called a house of prayer for all people, for all people. Don't you sit up and say what kind of people should be there. We got to have it, well, I just want the Baptist over here. Well, I just want the Methodist in our church. I don't want nobody else, and I want the white people in my church. I don't want the black people in my church. We got all these things going on. Doesn't that tell you that the church is out of order? And then you got, well, the Jehovah's Witness don't want nobody. I want you to come, and I want to convert you to my God, but I don't want to go over there and be converted to your God. You see the church out of order? Come on, then. Think about it. Think about this thing. Church is out of order. I ain't say one church. All of them is out of order. They don't have honor in simple things. You know they ain't got order in none of the rest. You see? You don't think about that. And that's why we need restoration. God is going to do it, establish it back in the earth. He is going to establish it back because he promised he would. See, he promised that this would come through the seed of David, of his son. See, he promised that. And that's what he's doing. Who are we? Let me tell you now. Oh, we going to get into something now. Amen. Praise God. All right. Y'all ready? Is it ready? Hallelujah. Now, the restoration was promised to the prophets, right? Now, we're going to talk about each prophet. We're going to tell you just a little bit about each prophet. Not too much, but we'll go on about a few prophets right quick, okay? The restoration was promised by the prophets. That's what happened, right? Now, Ezekiel saw it in the glory of what? Restored temple. When he went to Babylon with the captives, the temple of Jerusalem was in shambles, smaller than shambles, the ruins. No hope that their enemies would ever allow them to get strong enough. Now, an enemy has to be stupid to let them get strong enough to rebuild, wouldn't it, if they tore it down? Now, that's crazy, right? Again, to rebuild the holy city and the temple. But now, They are in a captive land. Now, he had a vision. God gave him a vision. Ezekiel a vision now. And he saw the temple restored. Can you see the temples restored today, the house of God restored today? Now, remember now, you hear a word going forth now that a lot of mega churches are going to fold. You hear that today, right? Because the pastors, whoever's the pastor's not gotten things in order. Divine order, let's put that in there. The divine order. They don't have it in divine order. So therefore many was going to close. You heard that, right? So now somebody gotta rebuild this thing. Don't somebody? Now, if you in captivity and you see this this vision, what you going to do? Now, Ezekiel also said when he saw the temple restored and the glory of God returning to it in a greater way than ever before. My God, ain't that going to be some kind of blessing? That's going to be something to see, isn't it? I sure hope I can see it. And the glory of God returning to it in a greater way, y'all, than it ever was before. Now, what is Ezekiel seeing? A restored ministry, right? Huh?
Amen.
Restored. And then ministering unto the Lord in the Holy of Holies. And what did they have on? Wearing their garments of glory. Good Jesus, Lord. How much? Hallelujah. Anyhow. You hear what I'm saying? God is good. Did you hear what I'm saying? Now, let's go to another prophet. Okay. Haggai. Many of y'all heard Haggai in the Old Testament too, right? You heard of Haggai? Who was a prophet of the restoration following the Babylonian captivity. Now, think of this. He was also a prophet of restoration. So now, listen, restoration ain't just got here. The Bible called it before restitution, which in the Greek it means restore. So now, if God has given to us, all of us, a ministry of reconciliation and restoration, then we should do what? Restore something broken. The church is broken, y'all. Now, when they followed the Babylonian activity, they saw that the glory of the latter house would be greater than the glory of the former. A lot of people told you that, didn't they? They told you when they prophesied to you, didn't they? You heard it, didn't you? Do you believe it? In other words, God going to restore you back to himself greater than you were before. Can you believe that? Or are you going to go to some place where they're not teaching any of this or anything like this or not telling you what to expect to be restored from whatever you are in now? See, you think everything's fine. I got a job. I got a 9-to-5 job and all of this stuff and everything. You think everything is good. But you haven't been restored. You haven't been built up yet where God wants you to be because you're still lingering in your carnal body and mind. You can't see past that. And when you cannot see past the limitations that your body has, then you will not be restored, because in order to be restored, you've got to take the limit off of God and go into another dimension in him. Hello. I hope you remember that. Praise God, because I know I ain't going to remember. Praise God. See what I'm talking about? I'm talking about God that was giving us a word of promise of restoration of our temple too, not just the brick and mortar temple, but also to the house, our temple, the temple that's not made by man, this temple that God made. He said that your body is the temple, is it not? Amen. Now then, that temple got to be done what? Restored. Now there's the other prophet Zechariah. Now, he was prophet, contemporary with Haggai. He worked with Haggai too. He saw the cleansing of the priesthood, casting down the accuser of the brethren. God knows I like that. Don't you like that? casting down the accuser of the brethren. And who is that? Who are you talking about? Who's he talking about? Accuser of the brethren. Who accused the brethren? Nothing but the devil. Devil gonna accuse you coming and going, don't it? Every time. Then you had Joel was allowed to see the harvest restored. Oh, now I know you wrote that one, don't you? You ready for that one, ain't you? Huh? Read Joel, the book of Joel. Short book, very short book. About the harvest restored. And the, ooh, I know you like this. And the glory of God's great army. Oh, my God, God's great army. See, remember he told you, say, a new thing? Behold, I do a new thing, and now it spring forth. See, everything that you see happening now is coming where God is doing what? Putting things in order, things where they should be at, and what he has prophesied already to the people. Okay? He prophesied years and years and years ago, before our great grandmothers and all was born, he prophesied these things. Huh? Now, shall spring forth. Let me tell you, the world ain't never seen the likes of such a people as Joel saw in the spirit. Can you? Now, you know. Now, that scripture, I didn't see that part. Okay, I just seen that part. What kind of people did Joel see? Huh? Think about that. The world had never seen the likes of such people as Joel saw in the spirit. Now, what people? He saw a great army. He said he saw a God's great army, the glory of God's great army. My God, my God, are you in that army? Think about that now. Are you in that army? Can you say yes, or can you say no, or can you say, Lord, restore me? Lord, restore me. That's what I'm saying. Lord, restore me. Let me tell you, there was Daniel. Everybody know that man with faith, and, oh, Lord, he had integrity. He was a man of God. Daniel saw the glory of the Son of Man and saw him overcome all the forces of this world system with its power of darkness, no matter how dark it is or was. It's going to be restored. With what? The power of God over all the darkness. The world system. Now, when you begin to read Daniel, he talks about a lot of things that is in the world now. But it was symbolism. He saw. Let me tell you some more about Daniel. Daniel saw the restoration of the glorious man-child company. Well, that's another lesson that I haven't talked about a long time, about the man-child. To a place of dominion and authority. Now, I like that. Okay, don't you like that? Don't you want that to happen? Now, that's what Daniel saw, the restoration of this glorious man-child company to a place of dominion and what else? Authority. You have been restored back to your former glory. He restored you with dominion and authority. Can you see the glory of God? See, when he saw the glory of the Son of Man, the Son of Man now showing him what is to be, what is going on in this future time, the future time that God has designated for himself to bring forth. When he formed his great army, when God formed his great army, all those armies that have gone before Pharaoh, Hitler, and all the rest of them. None of them, Alexander the Great, any of their armies that were out there thinking they were so great, nothing is compared to God's great army, glorious army. Nothing is compared to it. Do you see what I'm saying? Nothing. And Daniel saw it. Oh, Lord have mercy. I love this. Isaiah saw the glory of Zion and the blessings of the kingdom age under the government of our Lord and his Christ. Isaiah saw it. He talks about these things. And when Isaiah talks about these things, you know, we love to read Isaiah. I mean, the things he talk about, you know, make God seem even more real than he already is to us. Oh, yeah. I know it do me. How about you? See? Listen, God promised us these things. These prophets saw these things come. Not in terms where we readily recognize it, but they talk in terms that God gave them when they saw it at the time. But now it's becoming to naught where we can understand what they were seeing, that God is going to restore us. You remember they asked, well, Lord, will you restore Israel? He won't know you're going to do it now. See? They just jumping the gun. They didn't even know what they were seeing or what they were walking in at the time. They was looking in their carnal minds because they had not been really, they had not really went into the upper room yet. So they were only in their little minds of what God had, Jesus had taught them while he was walking among them. Even they forgot most of that, what Jesus was told them when he was among them. Now, just like today, we go to church and forget what we heard by the time we get out the door. We done forgot the message. The message could have been very important to you and your family, but you done forgot it. See, God might have gave you a message just specially for you, but you're so busy thinking about somebody else and what they got on or something or what they said or however they said it until you can't hear what God is saying to you. See? Now God go bless us. He gonna bless each and one of us. He gonna pour it on us, good fashion. Now listen. What did Jeremiah say? What did he see? What did he see? Jeremiah saw the fall of the Babylonian system. And let me tell you what he's saying, Jeremiah. 50th chapter, yes. Okay. The voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon. To declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God. The vengeance. The vengeance of his temple. Okay, see that? Now you go up there trying to do stuff in the temple and tear it down or whatever you're trying to do. Let me tell you something, people. God gonna get a vengeance on you, whatever you do. Okay? At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved. and the cry, and the cry is heard among the nations. If the earth move, I guess the cry is going to be heard, ain't it? People going to be crying like crazy, huh? Come on now, think about this now. Jeremiah saw the sons of God, as the weapon God will use to destroy the, oh, Lord, hallelujah. The sons of God. Now, when them sons of God are manifest, do you hear me today? As the sons of God are being manifest, Jeremiah saw that, and he wasn't even there. That was in, 51st chapter, I believe it is. He saw it. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things. Hear what it say now. Jacob is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. You see the difference. The Lord of hosts is his name. Now, hear what I'm going to tell you. I say it all the time, and most of you don't know what I'm talking about half the time when I say that. When the scripture says, this way it's Jeremiah said it, thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. He going to use you. Hello. Because, listen, if he gave you his power over all the power of the enemy, he gave you power to sustain yourself and to fight while you're hiding it and holding it and not using it. What'd he say? He said, you ain't like them. Okay? He gave you a rod to use. You inherited. Because of what? You are his battle axe and weapon of war. And he told you, for with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms. Everything that is not like God, he gave us the power to do it. Thing is, we so out of order, we cannot do what we're supposed to do until we get in divine order. And if we don't never get in divine order, it ain't going to happen for us. He's raising up a great army, a holy army, a righteous army. He's doing what? He's taking out every system is not like the system of God. Better still, not of the system of God. We'll use that. You see? It's being broken even as we speak. Everything is going on now because everything is decayed. The church is decayed. The people is decayed. Everything, the earth, the animals, everything is out of order. And God is not satisfied with stuff that he put in order. You took it out of order with your ways, your actions, and your doing. He gave these visions. He gave these visions to these prophets to relate to you, to let you know that these things are coming, to restore these things back to God. And to restore you back to God. I know you say, well, I go to church. That ain't enough, just going. What else you doing? What else you doing? Think about you. You said, I'm me. I live my life the way I want to. Well, you out of order. Abraham did what? He followed what God said do. He left home. If God tell you to leave that place, you're supposed to leave that place, right? Okay. See? You're out of order. Okay? Then you wonder why your children out of order. your home out of order, the dog out of order, everything out of order. Because he said that animals are going to be out of order too. They're out of order. I'm still trying to think, how do y'all make the animals? How do you make animals out of order? Hmm? Did you know that your animals are out of order? The animals out of order? Some of them are vicious. Now, if there coming a time when God finished doing all he's doing, that everything's going to be together, the lion and the us and the dogs and the cats and everything going to be together. So ain't nothing going to be vicious in destroying anything because the curse has been lifted. The curse of decay and destruction has been lifted and violence has been lifted. Because God is getting everything back in order. He's setting everything back in order. Human life, animal life, plant life, everything is set in order because we are too busy trying to cross up what God already made. We're trying to make something else out of it. That's out of order, ain't it? Come on, talk to me now. You may not hear this ever again. But today you're going to be restored. We want you to be restored. And to know that each one of us is not in sync with God's order. And when you realize it and tell the truth about it, you will see a change. Huh? Because everything is out of order. Do you think the atmosphere is in order? It's not in order. It's out of order because God said it so. Hmm? When he told the disciples, when they stood asking him about when you going to restore the kingdom back to Israel, and he told them it's not for you to know, for God, the Father himself. But what am I do for you? Because I need things to set in order. I am here. What did Jesus come and die for? Because he came here so he could put us back in order. For we've been out of order a long time. Why do you think the prophets was prophesying about restoration and restoring and all that, restitution and all that? Why do you think they was prophesying about it? Because they saw that we were out of order. They saw we weren't doing what God called us to do, and the priests and the pastors and the whoever prophets and whatever God called us not doing what God called them to do. They were all out of order doing their own thing, and they got worse as the years rolled on. We are to a point now in Christ. We say we in Christ, but we don't act like Christ. We don't perform like Christ. We don't have to be people of respect and integrity and doing the right things that you're supposed to do and all that. We're not doing any of that. The preacher ain't doing it, and the members ain't doing it. So that means what? Everybody's out of order, don't they? Huh? Everybody is out of order. It's time for us to get in order. Because, listen, if Jeremiah saw the return of Israel from Babylon, he had a wonderful picture of restoration of the church, didn't he? He had a beautiful picture of it when you read about it. I know some people it's hard to understand what he's talking about, but he's talking about restoration, restoring the church. And you say, why do the church need to be restored? What you think? You don't want to go. You don't go to no church. See? Well, I ain't going to that church. I ain't going to that church. I ain't going to that church. I remember me and one of the sisters in the church went. I know that's my story. But we were in New York, and look, I just don't like to be in no city and don't go to church. I'm going to go to somebody's church. And so I kept asking, I said, my mother, well, where you go to church at? When she told me all this long way and all these buses you got to catch, I said, I'll be lost before I got there. You know, I said, ain't nothing close around here? She said, I don't know. There's a little church across the street, but I think it's Spanish. So I told the sister that was with me, I said, okay, let's get dressed. We going across the street to church. I don't know what kind it is, but I'm going in there. We went in there. Let me tell you, it was a hole in this church, but it was a Spanish one. And the preacher was up preaching. And do you not know God changed the man's message just for us, that we something we needed? God changed the man's message. He went from Spanish to America. I say, ain't God good? God is a wonder, ain't he? Wake up. God is a wonder, ain't he? Now, you tell me, when God wants you to be restored, he going to make a way for you to get restored if you want to be. See? God made a way. Listen what God said in Jeremiah 32, I think. He said, that's the story of how God gave the prophet a promise of the land being restored. Now when God tell you he's going to restore something, he make a covenant with you. See? Jeremiah talks about that. Okay? He talks about God making that promise to you to restore. He's going to restore us. Huh? See? It could be, you don't know, we done went through how many years of life, however you age you are, you've been here. You've been here a long time, ain't you? But did anybody tell you the fact that you would be restored? You could be restored if you so choose to be? It's your decision now. See? God gave you an inheritance. Now, in order to receive the inheritance, you're going to have to do a lot of things. You're going to have to become his battle axe and weapon of war. You don't want to do that, do you? You're going to have to be restored back to the temple or the church, whichever way you want to call it. You got to be restored. As one scripture said, to your former glory. There was a glory that you had in your life. So now you're going to be restored back to it. But now you're going to have to meet the conditions. See, all the conditions that the Lord placed, you're going to have to receive. All right. And let me tell you, if you don't, if you can't, you'll see more desolation, won't you? Let me tell you something. God is good. Now listen, let me tell you what God said. What verse is that? Okay, is it fullness? Trying to find what verse is. I lost my verse you're talking. All right. Let's see. Start with verses in Jeremiah, it is, verse 14, 15. Thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take this evidence, of the purchase, both which is sealed, this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. For thus saith the Lord of hosts. I like when he says something, you know, the God of Israel. Houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Again in this land. See, he restored it back. And he went on to say in the 42nd verse of dropping down, for thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. See, you had desolation, you had destruction, you've had all kind of stuff going on, right? But he promised you that some good was coming out of him if you do what? If you do what? Restore. Get yourself back in with God. And fields shall be bought in this land whereof you say, it is desolate without man or beast. It is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. He put them in the hand of the Chaldeans, didn't he? Because he let evil come upon you. God, what didn't he say? He put that evil upon you? But he going to restore you. But you got to do something through here. You can't just go around here talking about, oh, I do what I want, or this is me. If you don't like it, you know, all that sassy talk. You know, you don't need to go into all that sassy talk, because let me tell you, the prophets already prophesied it, spoke these things. Ezekiel, Haggai, and Zechariah, and Daniel, and Joel, Jeremiah, they've already spoke these things. See, just for us to know that even though life may seem like it's just dead, ain't no use. Ain't no sense in going to church. Don't nobody go to church no more. People say all these kind of things. How you can say that? Whether you go to a building or not, God is still God. He doesn't change. See? He doesn't change. Do you want, let me see now. Do you see the spiritual fulfillment of this parable of Jeremiah, the promise? And it's in Ephesians. After that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. See, God just waiting. God is waiting for a purchase now. He done purchased you. He purchased you with his blood. Okay, he paid for it. Yes, he did. He paid for it. That's what he did. And if he paid for it, okay, you belong to him. But now you got to wait for your inheritance. Now, he done already died and left you something. Okay? He left you his glory. He left you everything. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? I done got into it. You know, praise God. Trust that you were blessed in some way. I may continue some more tomorrow. I don't know. Lord, we'll see. We'll see what the Lord say, so to speak. Okay? Amen. All right. Here you are, Brother Mike. You done.
Praise the Lord. thank you, Lord, for that wonderful message from a pastor, from apostle, that restoration to restore. And, you know, we all need a touch of restoration. We all need to be fixed up. We all need to be polished and put back the way we were, better than ever, you know. So that, you know, it's very enlightening that we all need some restoration. But here's the mailing address is P.O. Box 22228, Apopka, Florida 32704. And that's Post Office Box 2228, Apopka, Florida 32704. And we have, again, tomorrow, time to talk about it with Apostle Porter. That's 347-857-3925. That's 347-857-3925. And we also have the Wailing Walls Prayer Line, and the number is 218-548-6746, code 3333#. And we would like for you to come and join us at 11 p.m. And again, that's 218-548-6746, 3333#. And we also have Bible Talk, and that's also on the same number, which is 218-548-6746, 3333#. And that's every Tuesday at 6 p.m. We had a wonderful time last night also. So come and join us. Join in, you know, because we have a good time. All right? And see you guys in the morning. Praise God for the rest of your day.
Looking at that. God.